This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Chung, and you're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. Now, this week, we talk to Roberto Coin, founder of jeweler brand of the same name.
What does it do? In their mind, it brings good luck, good fortune, prosperity, good health, everything positive.
After that, our Florence Song stylist at Zalora talks about how your grandma's fashion sense goes trendy with chain and scarf prints.
For Paris Fashion Week, she actually stockpiled silk scarves over a series of months, all the vintage scarves, and she actually put them together.
But before we get to that, I have Odd New Ting with me here in the studio, and we're going to go over some fashion headlines. Now, for the first story this week, we're going to be talking about Ralph Lauren. Last week, we talked about Ralph Lauren's collaboration with Palace. Now, this week, Ralph Lauren is the first American fashion designer to be knighted by Britain's Queen Elizabeth II. So, British Vogue reported that the 79-year-old has been recognized for his services to fashion with an honorary British knighthood. So apart from him, who has been, you know, recognized, that Bono, Steven Spielberg, and even Bill Gates, you know, are amongst the other non-British citizens to receive the same honor as well.
Yeah, but as you say, he's the very first American fashion designer, right? And according to them, he's been chosen because of his philanthropic efforts, especially in the realm of, you know, public health, cancer research, and treatment in both the US and the UK. Now, I have to admit that I didn't know that aspect of him. I only thought he was Ralph Lauren.
Yeah, me too, Polo. Actually.
But when I did a bit more research, I realized that he has a few different efforts, one of them being the Ralph Lauren Center for Cancer Care and Prevention in East Harlem, New York. And there's also the Fashion Targets Breast Cancer that he established back in 1990. And that's not all. He even has the Polo Ralph Lauren Foundation, and that's to support higher education and programs which provide healthcare in medically underserved communities.
Well, I mean, you know, being a fashion designer is not just about designing, you know. It's all about, you know, helping the community, you know, and doing something different at the same time. And he's 79 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, as a creator, you know, and visionary of the Ralph Lauren brand worldwide, you know, he has been a vanguard, you know, for the global fashion industry and as well as, you know, American style for nearly half a century. I mean, that's a long time, I think. So addressing his legacy in a recent interview with Town and Country magazine, apparently, the fashion veteran explained his success stems, you know, from his willingness to take chances. It's all about taking chances. You're at the age, you're not afraid. And, you know, he said that, Ralph Lauren said that, good taste alone is not going to build a company that lasts for 50 years. So, you know, good taste can be boring taste and classics can be uninteresting, he explained. If all he had was good taste, people would say this is just an old man designing clothes.
But I think it's also interesting to note that he wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Yeah.
He came from a working class background, born in the Bronx, and he was the youngest of four children. So, and, you know, growing up, I read that he learned to escape his family's poverty by going to movies, you know, immersing himself in the fictional plot lines of the movies. So he was quite the dreamer. And then he started off as a clerk at Brooks Brothers, actually. And then he was invited to a polo match by one of his associates, I guess. And then that was where he was first inspired to design the image of the perfect American, you know, Ivy League type of lifestyle from the eyes of an immigrant. So it's been a long journey for him, actually.
Now, moving on to the next story. Now, as we all know, H&M has linked up with many high fashion designers since 2004. So when it first partnered with Karl Lagerfeld for a capsule collection that sold out within minutes, now available online and in stores, the Swedish retailer's latest collaboration features a playful, vibrant assortment of 112 garments and accessories for men and women designed by Moschino's Jeremy Scott.
I don't like him.
Why don't you like him?
Okay, I mean, for Moschino's vibe. I think Jeremy Scott is the perfect person as the creative director.
That's right.
You know, because it's they are both, I feel, very loud.
Playful and loud and bold.
Playful,
right?
Loud, bold. But you know, for my take, maybe too bold.
Maybe we're not the kind of person. We're not his target market.
Just too much, you know, too much color, too bold. You know, mm-hmm. Too playful. Maybe it's just yeah.
But I mean, well, whatever they have designed, looking at the collection that they have, it's all about chains. Mm. And as we talked to Florence lately, so chains are actually in trend at the moment. Yeah,
it's
so
borderline tacky, but I guess yeah. That's the trend right now.
But I mean, more of their classics. They have their jackets, they have their swimsuits, their accessories as well. It's all about chains, gold and black. Mm. So very iconic in a way, and very, very Moschino. So, I mean, I didn't manage to fight the crowd at H&M, but mostly are sold out now. So looking at the H&M website, mostly sold out are the small items like accessories, bags and jackets, and they're not cheap at all.
Yeah. Do you see the teddy bear iPhone case?
I saw. What was that? I mean, it's so huge. How are you going to put it in your bag?
Doesn't feel practical, but maybe that's the point.
Now, one question for you, Arth. Would you queue up all night or 3 days, 3 nights just to check out a collab?
Nah, that's not me.
That's not you?
Nah, I got
How about queuing up for a girl who likes a collection?
I wouldn't like a girl that likes Moschino. Sorry.
Or maybe not just Moschino, any other brand.
I feel you should use your time on this earth wisely. So like lining up and queuing up, I mean, I'd rather pay someone to do it for me.
Wow, wise words.
Speaking of queuing up, I think you showed me the video earlier of people like rushing into the store.
Yes, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, what I didn't expect is that the crowd and how Malaysians are really crazy about this collaboration. It's just absurd, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the video showed the staff counting down to the launch and just as they opened the gates, you know, customers came barging in the store, pushing each other around, including the security guard. So according to World of Buzz, the staff wanted to let a few people in at a time, which most collabs and most other stores would usually do, right? But it somehow turned into a chaos after they started pushing their way in, causing others to act outrageously as well. Even the mannequin's outfit was stripped off, you know. So it's just crazy. And I mean, watching the video made me feel like these people are not real buyers.
Yeah.
These people are actually, they're just grabbing whatever they see, and what are they going to do next? They're going to resell it.
They didn't even check the sizes, right? They were just grabbing.
They were just grabbing, snatching from the rags. And I think the next thing they're going to do is just resell at a higher price.
Yeah, and this actually reminds me of a video I recently saw of an off-white line in KL recently, and the lines were all occupied by old men and women. I mean, no offense. I mean, maybe they are
old men can be fashionable too, right?
Maybe they like street style as well. But it's quite obvious that they were just there to, you know, like exactly like this job, they were just there to grab whatever they can so that they can resell it. And I think that's why some stores right now, they have a policy that you have to wear the items that you buy out of the store for them to sell it to you to prove that you're not going to resell it and you're actually going to wear it. I think that's a good strategy.
Yeah, but the thing is, they are actually limited to certain pieces. You know, they can't buy more. They can't buy more than I think two or one. I can't remember.
Yeah, and I think I saw pictures. There were a few people that were camping there. Was it overnight or?
I think it was 3 days before the launch.
No
actually,
way.
They queued
days.
Up at Avenue K 3 days before the launch.
Nothing else to do.
Oh well. That's all the news we have for you this week. Stay tuned because coming up next, I speak to Roberto Coin. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Style File. We just wrapped up the headlines and it's time for our star maker for this week, Roberto Coin. Hailing from Vicenza in Italy, Roberto Coin is a world-renowned luxury jewellery brand combining traditional Italian craftsmanship with modern sensibilities. After launching in 1996, they've quickly become a customer favourite, serving clients in up to 53 countries. They've made full use of their city's resources, creating a one-of-a-kind piece in every product they release. But this all started with their founder of the same name secretly implanting a ruby into every piece of jewellery, describing it as a romantic gift to women. Roberto Kwan himself joins us on the show today and tells us all about what the rubies signified along with the rest of the brand's collection. Now, Mr. Kwan, you're from Italy, Vicenza specifically, where, you know, a lot of jewelry is created. Do you think this contributed to you working with jewelry?
Vicenza is very famous for the jewelry manufacture, especially in gold, for centuries. When I started the jewelry industry, there was over 1,000 factories already established in Vicenza. And it is an area where jewelry, fashion, machinery is an area where they do love to manufacture, and there we could find the suitable people to work with this kind of industry. So there is a tremendous good schools, there is good designing schools, and obviously this is an area which gives you a better opportunity than most other areas in the world.
Now, you launched the brand Roberto Kwan Jewelry in 1996. How have things changed since then and now?
Well, it changed continuously. The world is changing. Fashion is changing. The new millennium thinks in another manner. And this in one way is very exciting for a creator or a designer. Mm-hmm. Because what do they want today? People, they do want to buy more often than in the past, but a lower price. The new millenniums are exciting because most of us do not understand them perfectly. But obviously they do want to live life in a different manner. And we like it because it gives us the opportunity to create new ideas, new concepts at all times.
Now, I know you've been in business for many, many years. So how exactly did you land yourself into the jewelry industry?
Well, I come from another industry. I was in the hotel industry before. But since a young man, I was fascinated by fashion. I think the Italians are born to be fashion creator. You know, you're born with a taste, a style. Because of our culture, because of the arts which we have created in the past. Every part of Italy means something. So we are fascinated by fashion. When I managed to sell my hotel and I had the opportunity to see if I was capable of following the jewelry industry, that was a dream, and which that happened to be a good dream, but I didn't know anything about the jewelry industry. I had to learn everything all over again. It is continuous changes, makes it sometimes difficult, but if it's difficult for you, it's also difficult for your competitors. And it's a business which I truly, truly fell in love, and creating new ideas is like creating a new baby every time. So I'm continuously falling in love with the future.
Was it easy entering the market? What were the biggest challenges you faced in that process?
Well, I was not aware of the challenges which there was in the market. I only knew that I wanted to create design which had never been seen before. I wanted to create the highest quality possible. And I wanted to give the opportunity to my clientele to be different. Therefore, I create 600 new models every year because every person continuously changes herself. And you know very much how women think. When they go shopping, they ask for the new. And they want to buy something all the time different. Different age, different, you know, today you are not married, tomorrow married, then you have children, you're changing continuously. Today the fashion is blue and tomorrow is orange. So that is beautiful. So by creating 600 new models, I give the opportunity to my clients, the consumer, to be different. I want them to be updated and different because each woman is different. So there was a challenge, which I loved it because nobody's ever done this in the jewelry industry. One challenge was, you know, how to create your own fashion to be different than everybody else. The second challenge was the finance challenge, because jewelry industry, you need finance. Then the third challenge is to have the best computer system in the world. Then the fourth or fifth challenge, to create the credibility. And to create credibility, you have to be a brand which is very ethical, which we were since the beginning, which all our diamonds are traceable. So we work with the United Nations and Kimberley process, which we guarantee the consumer that they are legal sources. And every year you face different challenges.
Now, you were in Malaysia recently for the launch and preview of Savage Previ. How did it go?
Oh, the event was very nice. The event gives you the opportunity to meet new clients and new people. And is a source of exchanging way of thinking between one country and another. So these kind of events are always nice. And it went very well. And we helped the charity for which we were involved, because we believe to be part of a country, you have to be involved also in charity. All sorts of charity which are more suitable to the brand.
So what's your view of the jewelry market here in Malaysia?
I think you have everything. There's not much missing in the jewelry market there. All the big brands are there. But if you start looking at Roberto Coin with my eyes, you can see you have probably 1,000 choices, different items, different colors, different price point for different ages. You will see that there is more opportunity in the Roberto Coin brand shop than any other. So we are totally different than anybody else there. And the market probably is difficult for everybody. As you know, the economy of one country goes up and down. Sometimes it goes very well, sometimes not as well. I think we have great opportunity if we are able to market and make to the consumer aware how the brand Roberto Coin works in Kuala Lumpur and the rest of the world.
Now, let's talk about your designs. Tell me about your jewelry. Could you describe some of your biggest collections?
Well, my design, I'm known as a surprise. There is always a surprise every day, which is created by Roberto Coin. But history is made what people will remember. So my Animalier collection, for example, will make history because it is probably the largest Animalier collection in the world. We made 172 animals, big, large, expensive, inexpensive. And this is something very beautiful, because nature is beautiful, animal world is beautiful, and all the jewelry are either limited edition or they are unique. This is for sure what people will remember Roberto Coin for. Then there is collection like Appassionata, which was an invention and never been done before. So it's been patented worldwide. And we created the gold carpet with a special snap. And it's become so famous that also the antique dealers today are searching for the Appassionata because they want to sell it as an antique piece. My God, I say, I was worried because everybody thought I was that, old, an old company. We are not old, but we have created history in certain collections. And then now the surprise of last year, the collection, which is Sauvage Privé, which we launched during the event, but also Princess Flower. Princess Flower is a huge, huge success worldwide. But also you must remember that Roberto Coin signed each piece with a ruby.
Yeah. Talking about ruby, I know you used to implant a hidden ruby into every piece of jewelry you designed. Why ruby, and is there a story behind it that you use ruby?
Even CNN was fascinated and came to Italy, to Venice, to create a small film about the ruby.
Mm-hmm.
The ruby is not my idea in one way. It's by reading ancient books, which I found out the Egyptians, the pharaohs, used to love the ruby more than the other precious stones. And they used to love to give it to their wife, to their friends. They wanted to give the ruby because in their mind it was the only positive stone. And to be positive, of course, he had to touch the skin of each woman. And this is the reason why I inserted inside each piece of my jewelry. What does it do? In their mind, it brings good luck, good fortune, prosperity, good health. Everything positive comes when it touches your skin. And I thought it was a wonderful idea. I said, I'm going to make all my clients happy, all rich, prosperous, loving, caring, you know, all positive. And I thought that it was a very, very good idea. And of course, there is various stories about the ruby.
Would you say that, you know, this ruby is a signature design that, you know, you would continue in future designs?
For sure, we'll continue in creating jewelry, and more and more rubies will be added to each piece of jewelry.
Stay tuned, because after the break, Mr. Coin tells us more about his biggest collections. This is Style File, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Style File. Now, earlier on, we spoke about the significance of the ruby, and now Mr. Coin tells us what else his brand has to offer. What about diamonds? Diamonds are definitely women's best friends, as we all know, right? Tell me more about your diamonds, and what do you have to offer?
Well, one thing about diamonds, I'm proud that I'm a co-founder of the World Diamond Council and the traceability of diamonds. So we worked with various nations to try to legalize the diamond industry. So we made sure that no children will work in the mine, that the workers were protected, and the diamonds were sold legally in the market. So we do sell diamonds, but we also invented a new diamond, a new way of cutting diamonds. And this diamond is called cento, which in English means 100. So the cento diamonds has 100 facets. So we cut 100 times the facets of each diamond compared to the other diamonds, which are 57 or 58. The cento diamonds, because it has 100 facets, give a much better light scintillation than any other diamonds.
Would you say the cento diamond and a standard diamond, the price range is a big difference?
Well, there is a difference. The cento diamonds cost more, because we cut more rough from the stone. Then you have to be a maestro, an extremely good cutter to do that, and that only 4 or 5% of the cutters can actually cut our cento diamonds.
How do you assure you cater quality diamonds, you know, and designs to your customers?
Well, how we ensure? We, number one, we are experts. You buy the rough from legal sources, the beers, Rosa, and then it goes to the factory. We allocate the actual cutters how to do it, and each stone is controlled in a perfect manner before it is inserted to our jewelry. So you need to be experts. We ensure the best goes only in our jewelry.
Many Roberto Coin's creations are chosen each year by fashion celebrities and movie stars to accompany them on the most popular and prestigious red carpets. Now, celebrities like Taraji Henson, Elizabeth Hurley, Halle Berry, Selena Gomez, and so on. So how do you keep up with the designs and looks and trends celebrity wears?
Well, I think I do understand women. And I think I understand... And if you understand the person which you are dressing and you know what kind of clothes she's wearing, you can say that we have the ability of creating something which is very suitable for them.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, beauty is not based on price. You can have an expensive piece which not necessarily is beautiful. You can have an inexpensive piece which actually is more beautiful and suits the personality of the person which you are making for. In this case, private clients or a celebrity. So it is based on beauty. Then why do I dress them, the Hollywood stars? Probably because we don't pay them. Probably because we give money to charity instead of giving to them. Probably we created the credibility that if you want something different, you go to Roberto Coin. Probably because of the good charities we are involved. I don't know, but we seem to do a good job, should we say, in marketing.
I see you have a number of collections, you know, with pretty names, and you know, you create at least 5 collections a year. Where do you find inspirations for different collections that you have created?
Well, inspiration comes from my culture, the way I was, I lived my life. I have been in 129 countries, so I've seen a lot around the world. I've seen a lot of cultures. I've seen a lot of different arts from different countries, which every art, every culture are beautiful. There is always something to learn from, probably because I'm very curious. I follow the fashion world. I follow the interior design. I follow, the different style which everybody is making from different designer, from different countries. And I always try to be different. So you have to be very, very attentive because you have to create something which in 1 year or 2 years you think your clients will want to wear. So we are preparing in advance what people will like to wear tomorrow. So you have to be very attentive. But I think I read a lot of everything which fascinates me. And you can't go to school for creativity. Either you got it or you are in trouble. Unfortunately, God blessed me with this capability.
And I see you have a new collection coming soon called the Golden Kingdom. Now, when can we expect that? And, you know, what inspired you to create this collection?
The Golden Kingdom is to do all my animalier collections. We called it the Golden Kingdom. And it is all my animalier, which we have made a book for these collections. And it is out all around the world. Because I love nature, I love animals, which means I love people, and anything which I love, I create, and that's it. This, if I don't love, I don't love it personally, it will not go out in the market. I must have personal feeling to everything I do, and if I don't like it, I can assure you, it doesn't go in the market.
I'm sure you're aware that, you know, the fashion industry is shaped by consumers and their ever-evolving tastes and trends. Now, how do you respond to this in your designs?
Well, I do, because I have a young son which is 24. I have an older son. I speak to a young generation. I see their way of thinking is different than mine, but I do understand I think what they want, what they would like to wear. And there's no fashion now. You know, there's nothing in fashion. Everybody makes their own fashion. One thing they want to do, they want more than anything else, they want to be different than anybody else. So whatever, you know, they do buy probably similar things, but they do want to be different. And Roberto Coin is different. So by creating 600 new models, we bear in mind the young generation, we bear in mind the millennials, we bear in mind our actual clientele, which we have today, and we bear in mind the few wealthy people which can afford unique pieces. So we are, we don't do jewelry only for one type of clientele. We do jewelry for different type of clientele through our variety of styles and prices.
It's also said that, you know, you blend modernity and with tradition in your designs. So how do you achieve this? Why is traditional culture appealing?
You can't create a future without having culture. You can't create a new future without knowing the... You can't create a new culture without understanding the old culture. You know, and otherwise we go into a mess. You can't create new jewelry without understanding how the old jewelry was made. So basically, we like innovation, which is essential. Innovation helps you to become faster and better in certain things. So to be able to do something different, bear in mind that you can't create future without understanding the past. So we take the advantage of the knowledge of the capability of the innovation gives to you. Then we combine it with the tradition capability of the old maestro to make this piece beautiful. Because innovation doesn't mean beauty. Innovation means techniques, makes it better, faster, more precise, but then the beauty is given by the end of our artisans.
Now, obviously, your designs are all handcrafted and you tend to focus on every little detail. But have you ever tried incorporating technology into the production process?
Oh, yeah, we do use a lot of 3D design system. But it's like creating a beautiful body without a soul. And at which we have to give a soul, we have to give a heart. We are obliged to change what technology gives us. Because otherwise, everybody can do the same items.
So what's the future of Roberto Coin Jewelry going forward? You know, will there be a legacy?
I think we have created a very good reputation for the future of the company. We would like to be present in more different countries. Malaysia, as you know, we are just at the beginning. We want to be part of Malaysia. We don't want to be only jewelers which sells and nothing else. No, we want to be part of you. We like to understand you. We like to participate in what is good in Malaysia. And we like to give you a little bit of our Italian flair, of our Italian happiness, a little bit of our Italian smiles. So the future is to continue what we have done well, improve it, and sincerely hope that we will be able to expand also in Malaysia a little bit more. So the legacy is that the future belongs to those people which believes in the beauty of their own dreams.
That was Roberto Coin telling us all about his renowned jewelry brand. Stay tuned because coming up next is Florence Song, stylist at Zalora, with her thoughts on a new Versace-inspired trend, chain and scarf prints. But before that, here's Voglio Vivere Così, which means I Want to Live, by Christian De Sica. This is Stylefile and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Stylefile. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can download our BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. And now Florence Song, stylist at Solara, talks about chains and scarf prints. And this week, we are talking about chain and scarf prints. Well, it's called scarf print because it was typically seen on silk scarves, but recently designers have been incorporating it into their other garments like dresses, rompers, tops, and so on. So why is that?
You know, scarf print, or also known as the Baroque print, it brings to mind, you know, Versace or Hermes, you know, scarves, because that's the print that originally was on those scarves. So it's quite interesting that they've come back into fashion these days in forms of, you know, shirts, silk shirts, or even pants, or even matching coordinates, or even, you know, printed on bikinis, swimwear. So it's like brands have truly embraced these 80s retro prints. It looks like it's 100% silk. It looks like it's vintage. So it looks really expensive.
And well, vintage is the word, but I know there was once a time, you know, when scarf prints were considered cheesy because young people associated with their mothers or grandmothers kind of old scarves.
Yeah,
right?
Because it brings to mind, you know, the 80s, the shoulder pads. My mom used to have lots of scarf print shirts with big shoulder pads on them, you know, but these days they're not like that anymore.
Bring it back out, you know.
Yeah, bring it back out. But I feel that the prints these days are a lot more subtle as well. It's a bit more toned down as compared to the really loud bolt ones, as compared to the ones in our mom's years.
So when it comes to like chain and scarf prints, or maybe on dresses and all, colors that comes to mind is yellow chain with on black print.
Like the Versace ones.
Yeah, like the Versace ones, the typical ones, you know. What other kinds of chain prints can we find in the market?
So the yellow and the black one are one of the bolder designs, but these days they also come with, like, you know, a cream or white background compared to the black one. So it can be, there are prints of patterns that are a bit more spaced out, so it's not too harsh, it's not too eye-catching. It's more subtle that you can, you know, incorporate into your everyday wardrobe. And there are also ones, you know, that come in multi-colours as well. Like if you look at Marine Serre, who was the LVMH prize winner in 2017. So for Paris Fashion Week, she actually stockpiled silk scarves over a series of months, all the vintage scarves, and she actually like put them together, you know, kind of upcycled it to make beautiful patchwork scarf dresses and skirts with all these different scarves and all these different colours that come together.
So how would you pair chain and scarf prints?
If you're usually print shy, then maybe you could ease your way into the statement trend, you know, with like a scarf print type of blouse, and then, you know, tone it down with some jeans, pair it with some simple sandals, or you can do an all-over print, but instead of going for like a tight bodycon dress, you know, that may look a bit too vampy or bold with the print, so go for like a midi shirt dress, you know, or a knee-length dress, pair it with boots instead.
So where can we find it?
So these trends, if you look in any high street store right now, they're like, they're completely all the rage right there. So, you know, look in Topshop, look in Mango, or even online, you can find out on Missguided as well, who have lots of prints.
Do you think this is a trend to invest in?
Personally, I feel the print is a bit too much for my aesthetic. But like I mentioned, there are always, you know, various different types. So you can go, if you're not one for print, go with like the more subtle ones, like the ones on white background.
If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile and give us some love on our Facebook page, Stylefile on BFM 89.9. You can also catch the repeat of the show on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. or listen to us on the go if you're a BCB by downloading our BFM app. It is available on Google Play and the App Store. Now, if you want to be in touch with me, you can tweet me at BFM Radio or Adeline CSK. And don't forget, we are also available on Spotify. You can check out all the podcasts on Spotify, BFM 89.9. Now, before we go, here's Andre Bocelli with Besame Mucho. This has been Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.